It was day two of Eskom's fight with NERSA at the Pretoria High Court today. Just a recap on yesterday, the power utility claimed that NERSA's price determination process for the 2018-2019 financial year had gone against the Electricity Regulation Act as well as the electricity pricing policy. For that year, NERSA granted Eskom a tariff increase of 5.23%. Eskom claims if NERSA had done its job properly, it should have approved the 19.9% increase it had originally asked for. It was expected that today NERSA would rebut Eskom's claim with its response. So to find out what actually transpired today, I'm joined on the line by Antoinette Slabbert. She's a journalist at Report and she's been covering the case. Thanks very much for joining us, Antoinette. So yesterday when we spoke, you laid out some of Eskom's arguments, which I've tried to capture in the introduction. Did NERSA have their say today?
Yes, ma'am. Good evening. The basic argument that NERSA put is that the application by Eskom is premature. NERSA argues that the tariff determination process has two phases. It's first the main decision and then the regulatory clearing account process. Now, the regulatory clearing account is the process that we are starting public hearings about next week. So NERSA says all of this has to be completed before Eskom can approach the courts for a review. Eskom in its rebuttal disputed that. It said the RCA or regulatory clearing account is it has a different purpose. The purpose is to correct assumptions that played out differently in reality. You know, if a decision was based on a certain assumption, let's say, for example, the inflation rate.
Yes.
And the inflation rate is different, then there must be an adjustment in the revenue. So that was basically NERSA's argument today. They didn't really go into a lot of the line items that Eskom complained about. In fact, Advocate Chaskelson for Eskom pointed out in his rebuttal that there was silence from NERSA about, for example, the procedural deviance in determining the coal cost of Eskom and the staff costs and so forth.
So in terms of what we can expect going forward, you did say that this case has been set down for a number of days. Is it done or can we expect more tomorrow?
No, they actually, it was set down for tomorrow as well, but they completed their arguments today. The judgment was reserved. But something that is quite complex but interesting as well is what Eskom exactly asks of the court. It has changed the draft order to go to court a little bit in the sense that it is now saying there will be parallel processes if they succeed. On the one hand, the court will make an order that NERSA has to look at the decision again. It will remit it to NERSA to redetermine the decision in terms of the principles that the court then sets down. At the same time, the RCA process will continue. And once the RCA decision has been taken, then Eskom will have to submit another application to court. They call it a top-up application. So all the corrections that Eskom wants that were not addressed in the RCA will then be captured in a top-up application. And then NERSA has to sit with both the RCA and the top-up application and determine what the amount is in total that Eskom is entitled to claw back in relation to 2018-19 and how that will be liquidated. In other words, when it will be added to tariffs. Over 1 year or many years or, you know, whichever way.
It does seem ultimately, I mean, you said that Eskom has got about five different cases that it's going to be bringing before the court, and obviously two of them have been heard already. It does look as though, you know, one way or the other, we are going to have to be paying more money, even if Eskom doesn't win on all fronts.
Well, if Eskom is successful in any of these applications, there will be a higher tariff to pay. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Eskom, of course, continues with the argument that the tariffs are too low in terms of the World Bank comparison, the rating agencies. They say they, you know, if you compare internationally, they should have much higher tariffs than they have at the moment. As consumers, you know, that from our point of view, it's quite a different story.
Of course. But then, you know, at the end of the day, it's one thing to talk about your revenue and how much you should be getting, you know, compared to other jurisdictions. And then it's quite another how you spend that money. I mean, if we look at the cost overruns on places like Medupi and Kusile, I mean, it's quite ridiculous. And even further money has to be spent on those things. And that's got nothing to do with them executing the financial responsibilities they have properly.
Well, the Act, the Electricity Regulation Act, determines that NERSA should allow Eskom to recover from tariffs what an efficient operator, what it costs an efficient operator to generate electricity plus a reasonable margin.
Yes.
So that is where the prudency or the efficiency comes in. They are not entitled to recover anything from tariffs that is inefficient or due to corruption or due to wastage. Mm. That is not at all what we are supposed to pay for.
And then I don't know if you did see, Antoinette, on the operational front, I see Eskom announced that it's hired a gentleman by the name of Avin Maharaj. He was based in the Philippines. He is South African and he was working at Eskom before, but he went over to the Philippines. Perhaps he was fed up at Eskom. But now they've appointed him as projects director for the Kusile Power Station. It sounds like a positive move. They seem to be moving to get the necessary skills that they need for the power, for the utility.
Yes, it does look like that. I don't know him personally, but I know that Eskom has lost a lot of expertise over the past number of years. You know, it must have been a difficult place to work for someone who is technically minded, who just wants to do his job and do the right thing technically, but has to stand back for people who have other agendas, rent-seeking or... You know, don't do things the way they should be done. I think it must have been a very difficult environment. But it will also be difficult to bring people back. Once you've left, you know, your life goes its own way and you have different priorities. You've maybe established yourself elsewhere. To then convince someone to come back might not be that easy.
Yeah, and of course as well, if you really want to tempt the talent to come back, you may be paying way over the odds, and of course you want to try and bring in or rein in your expenses.
Exactly, yes, it's a difficult situation, but let's see how the new CEO, André de Ruyter, manages this.
Yeah, absolutely. Antoinette, thank you very much for your time. That was Antoinette Slabbert. She's a journalist at Report.